Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Continuing with the chapter on the virtue of walking to the masajid. An Ubay ibn Ka'b radiyallahu anhu qal kana rajulun min al-ansari la a'lamu ahadan ab'ada min al-masjid minhu wa kanat la tuqti'uhu salatun fa qila lahu law ishtarayta himaran litarkabahu fi al-dhulma'i wa fi al-ramda'i qala ma yasurruni anna manzili ila janbi al-masjid inni uridu an yuktaba li ممشاي إلى المسجد ورجوعي إذا رجعت إلى أهلي فقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قد جمع الله لك ذلك كله رواه مسلم. حضرت أبي بن كعب رضي الله عنه narrates that there was a person from the Ansar, and I do not know of anyone who lived further away from the masjid than him, but he never missed a salah. So the first point we learn from this hadith is what importance Sahaba would give to salah. Here was a person, he says, I don't know anyone that lived further away from the masjid, but this person never missed his salah. Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq. Sometimes we stay near the masjid, sometimes even in the masjid compound, but how often salah with jama'ah gets missed. Anyway, the hadith goes on, it was suggested to him, this person who stayed so far away from the masjid, you should purchase a donkey which you could ride in the dark or in the intense heat. So either in the dark, you can ride in the dark, and in the intense heat, you can come on a donkey instead of coming walking. So he replied, even if my house was next door to the masjid, it would not make me happy. I prefer that my footsteps, he would come walking. He says, I prefer that my footsteps, whilst proceeding to the masjid and whilst returning to my family, be recorded in my favor. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, Allah has granted you the reward of all of this. One thing we learn from this hadith, normally we always speak about walking to the masjid and the reward that a person gets for walking to the masjid. From this hadith we learn that even walking back from the masjid, in other words, the person going home is also getting rewarded from the side of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the grace, the magnificence, the fadl of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the person is going back to his house, Allah is rewarding him even for those footsteps that he's taking, returning also. We'll do one more hadith. عن جابر رضي الله عنه قال خلت البقاع حول المسجد فأراد بنو سلمة أن ينتقلوا قرب المسجد فبلغ ذلك النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فقال لهم بلغني أنكم تريدون أن تنتقلوا قرب المسجد قالوا نعم يا رسول الله قد أردنا ذلك فقال بني سلمة دياركم تكتب آثاركم دياركم تكتب آثاركم فقالوا ما يسرنا أن كنا تحولنا رواه مسلم وروى البخاري معناه من رواية أنس. حضرت جابر رضي الله عنه narrates that a piece of land became vacant around the masjid. So a piece of land became vacant around Masjid Nabawi صلى الله عليه وسلم. So Banu Salima, it was a tribe, they decided to move near the masjid. In other words, they wanted to occupy that land, they wanted to develop that land, and they wanted to come and stay there, build their homes there. They wanted to stay near the masjid. This was the plan of this tribe, the Banu Salima. So the news reached Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and he said to them, it has reached me that you intend moving near the masjid. They replied, yes, O Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, we intend doing so. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, O Banu Salima, remain in your homes, your footsteps are being recorded. Remain in your homes, your footsteps are being recorded. They replied, it would not please us to move. One lesson we learn from this hadith is that when we read hadith, then it's very important to read it and understand it, get it the proper understanding. Sometimes we just read the hadith on face value. If we take this hadith on face value, then what it will mean is that whenever a person sees a vacant land or sees an opportunity to move near the masjid, he'll say no. This hadith says that I shouldn't move near the masjid because Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told the Banu Salima that they mustn't move near the masjid. So it's better for me to stay far away from the masjid. There was some maslihat, there was some need, there was some benefit, there was a requirement for them to be staying, benefit to Islam. They were a big clan and they were staying on the outskirts of Medina Sharif. And one of the benefits it had for this clan to be staying there on the outskirts of Medina Sharif If ever there was an attack from any enemy coming in, they would have been the first point of defense. They would have been a buffer zone between the enemy coming into Madinah Sharif and the Muslims. So therefore Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked them to remain there. If they all had come in, then that buffer zone would have been lost. So there was a benefit to Islam, there was benefit to deen. Therefore Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked them to stay there. So therefore it is dangerous. A person just takes one hadith, he reads it on Google, or he reads it on the internet, or he gets one hadith without the context, and he can completely misapply. For weak people like us, there are great, great benefits, especially in non-Muslim countries, a great benefits buying a home, staying near the masjid, so that the person doesn't get lazy to come for salah. The hadith we did before this, that Sahabi, despite staying far away from the masjid, the hadith says that he did not miss any salah. Now they were of that level. The average person like me and you, the better thing, if possible, if it can, then a person stays near the masjid and he doesn't miss any salah in the masjid. Otherwise it can be like how today is cold, it's raining. Any excuse will come in the person's mind who's staying far. I'm going to take the car out, it's dangerous. So now any excuse shaitan will put in his mind and he'll miss his salah. So therefore when a person is closely connected to the masjid, his heart in the masjid, it's not difficult for him, then it's better for that type of person to stay near the masjid. So it's not just a general rule that staying further away from the masjid is better, but rather we got to look at the maslihat, we got to look at the need of the time, what is for that person's individual need, that is taken into account. One other principle that ulama derive from this hadith is that sometimes when there is general benefit for the ummah, then one's personal benefit is now relinquished. On a personal level there was benefit for the tribe of Banu Salima, but for the greater benefit of the ummah, when there is a greater benefit, then the personal benefit of a person now gets relinquished because of the greater benefit. So what the greater benefit is, that the Muslims now would have had this community that was staying further away. So therefore, the preference was given to general benefit over personal benefit. This is one fiqhi usul that comes out from this hadith. Allah Ta'ala give us all the tawfiq, this lessons that we learn. It's not for us just to listen, but to bring into our lives and to practice. And whenever we are feeling lazy, we don't want to come for salah, then think of the sahabi in that intense heat, in the intense darkness, he would come walking, not even on an animal. He didn't want to lose that reward and the sawab of coming walking. Allah has given us cars even to come from far. Then also if we don't come, then how disappointing it will be that we are leaving out such a great sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and we made so easy for us to come in the car. A person can on the heater, if it's hot he can on the air conditioner or the fan, but yet if he doesn't make it for salah, then how sad that will be. Allah give us tawfiq, we bring this, and if we can walk to the masjid with all the different fadail we are doing, keep that in mind. The one we did 2 days ago is that every time a person comes in the morning and evening to the masjid, Allah is preparing a special royal presidential, so to speak, presidential reception for that person in Jannah. So the person when his eyes close and appreciate, every time I went to the masjid, morning and evening, this is that banquet that Allah Ta'ala has presented for me, this reception that has come, not an ordinary reception of this world, but the nuzul and reception of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How can a person lose out on that? A simple thing is that let namaz be part of our lives. There shouldn't be anything that will come between us and our salah. May Allah Ta'ala give us all the tawfiq of making amal. Subhanallah bihamdi, subhanak Allahumma wa bihamdika, nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun, wa salamun al mursalin, walhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.